Church, this morning we begin a new sermon journey on a topic that is particularly relevant in our time. I warn you, we're going to travel down some difficult spaces. I learned early in my life when I was probably in kindergarten, first grade, that humor, it was just going to be a part of my life. I was a class clown. I was always cracking jokes. When tense moments, difficult moments take place, I'm typically cracking a joke. That's like who I am. And I'll say this, that throughout this next series, there'll be times of levity. There'll be times for us to laugh. But I want us to know from the get-go that what we are going to talk about is no laughing matter. Even if I try to deflect from time to time with a joke or a moment of levity, this is no joke. I don't have any fancy or cute sermon intros. I don't have a special video to play today. I want to start simply by reading a passage of scripture from the Psalms that many of us are familiar with, from Psalm 139, verse number 13, that says, "For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well." The church has long held this position that humans are God's creation, not just his creation, but we represent the best of God's creation. When God created humans, he put an extra oomph in it. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. There is nothing like humans. There's nothing that has been created like humans that are so intricate and complex and marvelously woven together. Humans are responsible for some of the greatest inventions on the planet. Who would have thought 10 years ago, 20 years ago, that in the palm of your hand, you would have a telecommunications device where you can do video talking to each other. You've got your stereo. You've got your camera. You've got a word processor. You have a Game Boy. You have everything all in this. This is because of the ingenuity of humans. And humans were created by God to do these wonderful and powerful things. We have used our minds in such incredible ways as to make so many advances in life. These are the result of human ingenuity and the product of God's wonderful and stunning creation. Humans, fearfully and wonderfully made. What we have in our world is the result of great minds. And so it often comes as a shock when humans who are fearfully and wonderfully made have great minds and mental strength. It comes as a shock when those same humans deal and experience with poor mental health and mental illness. Mental illness is a global issue. It is believed that the negative economic impact of mental illness will cost upwards of $6 trillion by year 2030. As we speak, nearly one in every four Americans, and some even report a higher number, one in three, adults are suffering from some kind of mental illness or disorder. That means if in this room there are 100 people, there are at least 25 of us that's struggling with some sort of mental illness or mental disorder. The numbers for children is a little more difficult to nail down, but some estimate that between 13 to 20% of all children are dealing with mental illness or a mental disorder. And while reports show that there has been a slight decrease in recent years, I'm happy and proud to report that instances of mental illness, particularly in children, the numbers are decreasing. It's still at a high and alarming rate. Some might quip that this is a secular issue. This is an issue that the world has to deal with. This isn't a church issue. This isn't a spiritual issue. Christians don't deal with mental illness. But many of us know that that's just not true. Some say, well, if a Christian deals with mental illness, just pray it away and it just goes away. Trust me, church. If I had any power, if I had any special gift, I wish it was that gift. To be able for someone to come to me and say, I am struggling mentally, and to be able to snap my finger and it go away. It's public record that many years ago, my wife suffered a mental breakdown, was out of work for a couple of months. And there were times when it was so dire that my wife would not let me leave her side. She would not let me leave the house. And I remember there was one moment where my wife was laying on the sofa and she had been sleeping. And I stood over her and I started to cry. And I just started begging God, please heal my wife. If this was just a matter of a Christian speech or a Christian prayer, I would have prayed that specific prayer, right? I would have done whatever it took in the name of Jesus for my wife to be well right then and there. But many of us know that it's not that simple. But I do wish that I could pray it away. I wish I could pray and it would just go away. For those who are struggling with post-traumatic stress syndrome, for those who have eating disorders, for those who are consumed with ADHD, OCD, bipolar disorder, multiple personality disorder, or any of the other 40 to 50 mental disorders, I wish I could just pray it all away with the snap of a finger in the name of Jesus. And I do pray that they go away. The truth of the matter is that these disorders are real, and Christians are not exempt from feeling the weight of mental anguish. Now, there's a lot of factors that go into poor mental health. And in recent years, there have been a surplus of celebrities and athletes who have gone public with their battle with mental illness. What has become public due mostly to their status in society, and because they're in the public eye, they begin to mention and make note that they're struggling with mental illness. But for a large part of the population, the stories of mental illness just go silent. No one talks about them because, as we have said many times in this space, there's somehow a stigma affixed to mental illness. Christians shouldn't deal with mental illness, even though we are inundated with all the reasons that leads to mental illness or poor mental health. Social media, we'll talk a lot about social media and the impact that it has on our mental health. It's not good. There's an election on Tuesday, I heard. Someone told me that. If no one ever told me, I would absolutely know by the garbage that's on social media. That is destroying us mentally. Our jobs are stressful. Our homes are stressful. Communities, stressful. Economic issues, stressful. Schools, stressful. Relationships, stressful. Unemployment, stressful. Dealing with disease and illness, stressful. The trauma of all these situations and events in the world, it's stressful. and it induces poor mental health. For many of us, it is a rough go about it, and it's impacting our emotions, our mind, our mental health. That some of us deal with mental illness should be enough. But what adds to the struggle is that there has long been, again, that stigma that causes us to stay silent and not talk about it. When someone deals with mental illness, sometimes they're looked at as just being broken, abnormal, or even weak. This stigma grows when we start to talk about it in church. There are some groups that would claim in the name of Jesus that if you're suffering from mental illness, it's because you don't have a good spiritual life. I grew up in a church that said those things. We'll talk a little bit about that. We've got churches and religious groups that downplay the role of therapy and medication and counseling. And what's the result? If I'm struggling with something, because there are all these stigmas, I just won't talk about it. So, church, while we have to talk about this subject, and we have talked about this subject in the past, we're going to continue to do our best to break the silence. Over the next 4 weeks, we will read scripture and talk honestly about a topic that has been declared a crisis of troubling proportion. By the end of this series, I pray each and every one of us will be equipped to speak honestly about our own struggles while leaning on God and each other for much needed help. Let me offer this before I go any further. I am not an expert. I am not a therapist. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a psychiatrist. I do a lot of reading. I have some training in my seminary training, Bible school training on counseling and therapy, but I am not an expert. I am not a professional. Lord willing, next week we will hear from an actual expert and professional in the area. But what I want to do during the next 4 weeks is serve as a curator of sorts as we talk about this topic, this difficult topic of mental illness that I myself am still learning. So it's fitting right now that before we go any further that we pray and then we open up the scripture and start there. So let's pray. God, we pray for your heart, your spirit, and your wisdom as we broach this difficult topic. God, I pray that we would not lean on cliches or platitudes, but that we would lean wholly and totally on you. And God, that we would draw from the experience of those whom you have gifted and equipped to speak to this very difficult topic. God, for those of us in this room that right now know that we have a struggle that is so much bigger than we can handle, God, I pray that we all would have the courage, the strength, and the freedom to speak honestly, to break the silence and talk about this intersection of mental health and faith in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 88. I'm going to read the entire psalm. Psalm 88. O Lord, God of my salvation, when at night I cry out in your presence, let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draws near to Sheol. I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I am like those who have no help, like those forsaken among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, like those whom you remember no more, for they are cut off from your hand. You have put me in the depths of the pit, in the regions dark and deep. Your wrath lies heavy upon me, and you overwhelm me with all your waves. You have caused my companions to shun me. You have made me a thing of horror to them. I am shut in so that I cannot escape. My eye grows dim through sorrow. Every day I call on you, O Lord. I spread out my hands to you. Do you work wonders for the dead? Do the shades rise up to praise you? Is your steadfast love declared in the grave? Or your faithfulness in Abaddon? Are your wonders known in the darkness, or your saving help in the land of forgetfulness? But I, O Lord, cry out to you. In the morning my prayer comes before you. O Lord, why do you cast me off? Why do you hide your face from me? Wretched and close to death, from my youth up, I suffer your terrors. I am desperate. Your wrath has swept over me. Your dread and assaults destroy me. They surround me like a flood all day long. From all sides, they close in on me. You have caused friend and neighbor to shun me. My companions are in darkness. Did you hear some of the stark, honest, and dark reflections in this psalm? Verse number 3, My soul is in trouble. For my soul is in trouble. I feel like dying. I am among those in the pit with no help. Verse number 5, I am set apart with the dead, meaning I'm cut off. Verse number 6, I am in the darkest of depths. Verse number 7, I'm overwhelmed. Verse number 8, you have taken away my friends. Verse number 9, my eyes are dim with grief. That's crying so much that it's just you can't see. Do you work wonders for the dead? Like that's kind of saying I'm hopeless. Can you do anything with a hopeless situation? Verse number 15, I've been afflicted and suffering terrors. Verse number 17, I'm surrounded by floods. Verse number 18 might be one of the darkest verses in Scripture. In some translations, my translations, it says my companions are in the dark. In some translations, it says darkness is my best friend. And that's where it ends. It's no stretch that many of us in here have felt some of what this psalmist wrote. And many of us, because of what we have been told about being in the dark, in those dark spaces, we would never say a word about it. As such, we have become liars. Hey, Dion, how you doing? I'm okay. Hey, Fred, how things going? Everything's great. Hey, Mary, what's going on? Oh, nothing. Everything is just fine. Except many times, things aren't okay. Many times, things aren't great. They're awful. They're not just fine. Things are crumbling right before our very own eyes. We have to ask ourselves, why is it so easy to lie about what's ailing us rather than just telling the truth? Well, maybe we're just ashamed. Again, many of us have been told that having dark or blue feelings is not indicative of being a Christian. I was told as a young Christian that Christians never feel down. They're always up. They're always joyful. They're always happy. If you're sad, if you're down, Satan has a hold of you. So when I did get sad, when friends of mine in church did get sad, we told ourselves, oh, that's the devil, so it must not. And we just overlooked it. We suppressed it. And we didn't talk about it. And when people ask us how we're doing, we said, I'm okay. Maybe we don't answer honestly because we honestly don't know what's going on. Many of us struggle with things and have no idea what's happening. Anyone in here ever experienced a panic or anxiety attack? It's frightening. It's scary. And those of you who've had multiple panic attacks, you can tell me, when you have a panic attack, even after having several panic attacks, you'll ask yourself or tell yourself, I have no clue what's going on. Sometimes we answer the way that we answer, everything's fine, everything's great, because we don't know how to give voice to what's going on. So it's just easier to not burden anyone with worry and just say, I'm okay. Or maybe we don't answer honestly because we're at wit's end. Man, we have done everything. We've done the therapy. We've gone to church. We've prayed the prayers and nothing is working. We're at wit's end. And so I don't want anyone to worry too much about me, so everything's fine. I'm okay. Do these responses sound familiar? Does that make sense? Church, here's where we began our quest to break the silence. It all begins with a simple edit. We can even use the same phrase that we're used to using, but just add one word. When we are feeling the hurt and the pain and anguish of mental hurt, and when someone asks us how we are doing, it is perfectly fine and spiritual and reasonable and honest to respond with, I am not okay. Hey, Dion, how are you doing? I'm not okay. I don't choose right now to go into it fully, but I'm not. It's okay to not be okay. The time is now for us to break through and allow space for us to be honest about our mental challenges. How do we know this is appropriate? Psalm 88, that dark psalm that I just read, that psalm that was full of some really deep and dark statements about their life. The writer of Psalm 88 could have taken their pain and struggle and hid with it in a cave somewhere. No one ever had to know what the psalmist was dealing with, but the psalmist brought it to God and brought it to the people of God. Psalms were meant to be shared and sung in community with others. They were sung together and shared together and prayed together. And I imagine that as they sung the words of Psalm 88 together, there were those who heard those words and for the first time said, there's someone else. there is someone else that feels exactly how I feel. There is someone else that is just as hopeless. There is someone else whose mind is racing, trying to figure out life. And then there's this. Did you catch? There are a couple times in this passage, but verse 13 really pops out, where the psalmist says, "But I, O Lord, cry out to you. In the morning, my prayer comes before you." Bringing our pain and struggle to the Lord, no matter how dark it gets, will always be the preferred route. God can handle our cries. God will hear our cries. And even if we don't receive instant relief, taking our struggle to God and prayerfully to others is encouraged. And when we go to God and when we go to others, we have to be real. We have to be honest. And a lot of times we have to start with a simple, "I am not okay." Earlier this year, I was asked to speak at a church on a Wednesday night for their summer Bible study series. And they were working through a book called When Your Way Isn't Working. And right now the author's name doesn't come to mind, but I'm going to come back to this book later on, so you'll get the author. But I remember I've spoken at this church several years in a row. And usually I respond late. You know, the guy sends out, "Hey, we're doing this book, and sign up for a week." And I always sign up late. And I always choose a week that's like at the end of the summer that gives me more time to prepare. But this time I said, "Dion, you're always the last one to respond. You're going to respond first. You're going to do the first chapter. That way, if I don't want to read the rest of the book, I can just do the first chapter anyway." But I said, I signed up and I had the first chapter. And I read this first chapter. And I read it again, and I read it again, and I read it again. And church, that first chapter tore me up. It wrecked me. In the beginning of the chapter, you're asked to answer several questions about your stress level and your mental health. And it dawned on me as I was preparing for that class that I was an absolute mess. It was the week before Central Ohio Work Camp. And many of you know that for me, that's one of the busiest weeks, 2 weeks of my life, is preparing for Central Ohio Work Camp, getting kids together to go out and paint houses all over town. And man, I was stressed out. I was not sleeping well. My back was hurting. If some of you remember, I had broken out into hives. I was a mess. And so that Wednesday night, I got up in front of the class and I stood on the floor ready to speak and to begin my time with the class, and I had to start with a confession. I said, "Before I say a word about this book, before I say a word about the subject material, I have to confess something to you." And quite honestly, I hadn't even confessed this to my own church. I'm confessing it now, church. And the first words I said after that was, "I am not okay. I'm stressed out. I'm tired. I have been poor in setting boundaries for my life. I say yes to everything. I'm not taking care of my health. I sleep 2 hours. If I get 2 hours, then I've like overslept. It was bad. And I'm not okay." A lot of us in here, if we're being honest, we need to take a good look at ourselves and a good look at our lives. And we just need to be real with ourselves. We're not okay. Church, it's okay not to be okay. And it's even better when we can admit it and confess it. So my invitation to you today is for you to start at that very simple place of just admitting, I'm not okay. I'm not okay. I want you to first admit that and confess that to God. And then entrust the community of faith, the church. Because alone, doing things the way you've always done it and not getting results, that was the mode of that book, the theme of that book, when your way isn't working. Often our way isn't working because we keep it to ourselves, we keep it bottled up, we're macho. Being vulnerable is equally macho. Being honest is equally macho, more so, where we admit, I'm not okay. I want to invite you, if you are in a space where you need to be truthful and honest, I want you to admit that you're not okay. Then I want to invite you in this moment to partake of God's living stream. So we sang a couple of songs from Psalm 42. I want to read Psalm 42, and I want you to hear the psalmist, hear their heart, hear what they are desiring, and hear what the remedy is as they desire God. Psalm 42. As a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you from the land of Jordan, the height of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waters and breakers have swept over me. By day the Lord directs his love, at night his song is with me, a prayer to God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why? My soul, are you downcast? Why are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. When it comes to mental health, mental illness, I will always suggest that the first place to go when dealing with poor mental health is God. There are things that we can do in addition to going to God, like getting rest, like getting off of social media, like reading our Bibles, like going for walks and getting sunshine, like taking care of our physical bodies. All of that is great, good, and informs good mental health. But the place to start is with God. It is okay to take your raw, honest hearts to God. It is all right to be vulnerable with God. That's why I love reading the Psalms, because they took everything to God. And so like the one who said, darkness is my only friend, go to God. Like the one in search of living streams of water, go to God. Because we need God. So for the remainder of this month, we will search for God's voice at the intersection of mental health and faith in God. I want you to know that even in the midst of your mental health struggle, God loves you. And the church loves you. And you are not a throwaway. And you are not some broken vessel that can't be fixed and we have nothing. No. As God embraces the broken, as God embraces the hurting, as God embraces those who are struggling, so does the church, the body of Christ. But let's start by taking our need to God. Let's sing of our need for God, our need for healing, our need for restoration, our need for God to hear those deep calls, those deep yearnings to be well, to be healed, and to not be tortured by mental illness. As we sing this song, consider this song a prayer to God, but also an invitation for you to be prayed for by the body. If there's shepherds in the room, I'm going to invite you to come forward so that people aren't making their way to just a chair, but that they're making their way to people to come. So Kent, why don't you just come up here and stand up here. If there's a way that we can pray for you, pray over you right now, just as a beginning step to this journey as we talk about mental health. Let us embrace you and pray for you. Let's sing this song together.